It could be the Chinese behind it all, Jamil suggested. The North Koreans could be pawns for the Chinese. But why would China? Unconsciously going into a lecturer's tone like a schoolteacher, Jamil said, The Chinese have been hit by this global recession harder than we have. Their people were starting to expect a rising economic tide. Now they're facing cutbacks, unemployment, economic slowdown.
Who isn't? General Higgins retorted.
There's been a lot of unrest, especially out in the provinces, riots even, and Beijing blames us for it. They claim the recession started in America and then spread to China and elsewhere.
And for this they're willing to go to war? Coggins asked, clearly unconvinced.
Their government isn't monolithic. They have factions just like everywhere else. The hardliners in Beijing have long maintained that they could survive a nuclear war, Jamil replied. They've got more than 1 billion people, and they've built extensive underground shelter complexes deep in the mountains of their western regions.
Are their government leaders moving to those shelters? General Scheib asked.
How would we know? Replied the man from the National Reconnaissance Office. Both of our recon birds looking down at the region have gone dark.
Or like the civilian satellites? Higgins asked.
The NRO man shook his head. No, it's more like their optics have been degraded, maybe by a laser beam.
Jamil tapped a fingernail on the tabletop. Maybe that's why they've knocked out the other satellites as well, so we couldn't see them heading for their shelters.
Coggins looked down the table at him.
What did you call that doomsday scenario?
Sarajevo, said Jamil.
Sarajevo, she whispered.
Aboard Air Force One, the president was frowning at his chief of staff. Norman Foster was accustomed to such scowls from his boss. The president did not take kindly to bad news.
Turn back, he asked. Why?
The two men were facing each other, sitting in plush chairs at the president's private quarters aboard the massive airplane. Foster was tall and lean, his head shaved totally bald, the expression on his face as hard as the president's.
They think the gooks might hit San Francisco with a nuclear missile, he said.
Gooks? The president frowned with distaste.
You mean the North Koreans, don't you?
The Democratic People's Republic of Korea, Foster replied, his voice dripping irony.
Yes.
Why would they do that?
Foster shrugged his lean shoulders.
Some analyst from the NIC came up with the idea.
And I'm supposed to turn tail and run home because some academic has a theory?
It's a long shot, maybe, but the president jabbed a forefinger at Foster's ice-blue eyes.
Norm, I'm not going to run away from a goddamned theory.
If they do hit Frisco, Foster left the thought dangling.
And if they don't, I'll look like a goddamned coward, the president snapped. I'm supposed to be the leader here. Hell, the real reason I'm going to San Francisco is to calm the people down over this satellite business.
They could deliver half a megaton smack on the Cow Palace, Foster said, his voice as calm as if he were quoting stock market quotations.
Two missiles. That's all they've got, right? We've got a missile defense system, don't we? God knows I've taken enough flack for cutting the funding on that system. Okay, now's the time for them to show what they can do.
That's crazy, Foster said flatly. No one else in all of Washington, all of the government, would speak to the president that way. But Foster could. He'd been with the man since the president had been a very junior congressman. He'd guided him through elections and conventions and nominations, and finally into the White House. The president stared at his old friend and advisor, tight-lipped.